We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the group that remains for the afternoon, and we ask a blessing that thy presence would be felt. As we would look into thy word, Lord, we know that we can always find encouragement and strength and guidance and exhortation. We praise thee for thou art our God, and we thank thee for this privilege and opportunity to have here to worship thee together. In Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. So, as I was reading the last couple of Sundays' Bible class lessons, we're following this past quarter, this quarter, the life of Apostle Paul. We're going through the book of Acts and then take a little bit detours through other through other epistles that he has written. Today's lesson and the last Sunday's lesson is about defending the truth. It's about trials and persecution of those that are delivering God's message. So in the last Sunday's lesson, as you look inside the middle, that it gives you the guidance for the next Sundays, there's always a supplemental reading. And this past week, it was on Jeremiah. And so that led me into a reading of from the book of Jeremiah, various chapters. And with the help of the Lord, I'd like to read a few verses from the book of Jeremiah this afternoon for our exhortation this afternoon. And the title would be Overcoming Discouragement. Overcoming Discouragement. So let's read, and then the Lord will hopefully guide my thoughts for the few words I'd like to share with you. So we're going to read from chapter 20 of the book of Jeremiah. So that's right after Isaiah. So one of the more prominent prophets of the Old Testament. Jeremiah 20. Actually, I will start with Jeremiah 19, verses 14 and 15. That's the end of chapter 19. And then go in a few verses in chapter 20. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they may not hear my words." Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah, and that is struck Jeremiah, the prophet, and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought for Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, "The Lord had not called thy name Pashur, but Megor-Missabib. For this saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and to they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of the city and all the labors thereof and all the precious things thereof and all the treasures of the king of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and thou there shalt die, and shall be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies." These are the few verses that I want to focus on. O Lord, this is Jeremiah's lament. Lamentation is expression of deep expression of grief. O Lord, thou hast deceived me or induced me, and I was deceived or persuaded that thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, every one mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, this is of God, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart, is a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side, report, say they, and will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a might, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he had delivered the soul out of poor from the hand of evildoers. We'll stop with verse 13. Obviously, a lot of words in this chapter, as most of the particularly Old Testament writings, you have to look at alternative translations to better appreciate. What caught my attention about this chapter and about Jeremiah, if you read Jeremiah, is just his honesty. His honesty at not being afraid to share his deepest lament or griefs with the Lord. And why am I saying? Because this is also a model and example perhaps for us as we in life may face discouragements. Discouragements typically happen when you pour your heart and soul into something, doing something, and you don't see the results. You are a parent and you're raising children and you're really giving them all that you have. I'm talking about and time and energy and resources, money and whatnot, and they end up rebelling and doing things that are contrary to what your expectations are. A preacher of pouring in the heart and soul into a church and not seeing the results in a sense of change of hearts, of change of lives, or change of activity. As Brother Dave pointed out even this morning about the example of our own lives and examining our inner heart and our life attitude. So that's where the discouragements come. But how do we overcome them? Because they will come. Things will not happen in life the way we envision and we would like it to go. Even when we do our best in following what God has instructed us to do, we will not see always in our lives the results that we desire, we expect. Jeremiah is a perfect example. He was a priest when he was called to be a prophet. So to be a priest, to the best of my recollection, don't quote me on that, I would have to go look and search to find the Old Testament reference, but I think you have to be 30 years old. And pretty much I believe that's how Christ's ministry started, about when he was 30 years old, because he became our high priest. So he followed, I believe, that Old Testament rule, just like you could not go to war unless you were 20 years old. So there were some guidelines on age and expectations. So he was not a young child. But when God in a vision appeared to him, and we can see in chapter 1, and he called him, he says, I have called you to set you aside for this service before you were even formed in your mother's womb. I have sanctified you. I have identified you as the one for this function, for this purpose, for this service. And as he did, as God did that, Jeremiah's initial response as a priest, so he was definitely well-informed in terms of in the way of the Lord's doing, he was reluctant to accept this. First, he says that he was not eloquent. He did not have words, just like Moses, if you remember. And then he said he was a child. Well, he was not a child. He was 30 years old when he was called into be a prophet. But he was saying that he was really ill-prepared for all this, and God assured him, he says, don't worry. You will not be speaking your own words. You will be speaking the words that I'm sending you, and you're going to go before people and nations, and not just Israel and Judah, if you will, but other nations, and you will deliver my message, and I will be with you. I will take care of you. God makes these promises. He made these promises to you and I when we accepted Christ. He has given us a message, what we are to do and how we are to live our lives and how we are to stand for the truth and be not afraid to speak out in a world that is around us, that it's anti-God, that it's anti-morality, that it's anti-Christianity, that it's anti-anything that comes from high on high. And he has promised us all these things, pretty much like he has promised to Jeremiah. But here's Jeremiah. He speaks out. In chapter 18, we find God gives him a visual example. He says, go to a potter's house, see how he's spinning the vessel on the potter's wheel. And if you remember the story, he was giving him a visual expression that the pot that he was making, the potter, had blemishes, had Mars, and so the potter decided to make another pot out of it. And God is challenging. He says, why can't I do that with Israel? Because he is the potter and in his hands. And he gives a very visual message in chapter 19. He says, take the leaders of Israel, take them out into the valley of Hinnom, of this Tophet. This is where the trash was being taken. This is where they were sacrificing sons and daughters, the idolatrous kings. He says, and break the pot, show him how I'm going to crush Israel and Judah because of their disobedience. In this case, Judah, Israel was already gone. And then he comes to the temple court and he delivers the same message. And what does he get for following the instruction that God has told him and with the assurance that God says, I will be with you? He gets the flocking, he gets the beatings, probably 40 lashes, and he gets put into prison. And this is the first time of several. The reference to the Bible class that I made was chapter 38, where he was dumped in a well of water, a cistern of water that was dried up and it was full of mud, and that's where he spent some time there. And so what I appreciate about Jeremiah, he's not shy to pour out his heart to God about the challenges that he's facing. He says, here I am speaking the truth as you have sent me, as I'm not keeping quiet, and I am being imprisoned, I'm being beaten by your own people, by my own people. They did not want to hear the message. And so this temple officer says, hey, he's the trouble. We can't listen to this message. He was telling everybody, no, these are lies. This is not true. So he gets discouraged. And so we know him as a lamenting prophet. Lamentation is the next book that he wrote. So that's why you can figure out how. But what's beautiful about him, what I wanted just to kind of give a few thoughts that we see here in this example, that as he was disciplined harshly for speaking out the truth, for delivering the message that God has told him, and with the assurance that God gave him, he struggles. He's discouraged, and he pours out his heart to the Lord. The model that we can take from this when we are perhaps discouraged in doing what God is asking us to do is basically saying, don't be afraid to really tell God how you feel. If you pretend in a situation, in a distress, in a time that you feel perhaps discouraged, if you pretend that everything is fine, God knows your heart. Don't be afraid to pour out your heart before Him. God gave us the emotions. I'm not saying get bitter against God, get resentful against God, accuse God of things, but pour out your heart, pour out your feelings, pour out your emotions. God can handle it. And that's what he did in verse 7. He shared with God really what was on his heart. He was honest. He felt, this is a harsh word, deceived by God, seduced by God. In essence, what he's saying, as I was reading a little bit about meditating, the promises God gave him, he felt now at this time, they're not coming true in a sense of how he envisioned that God was going to take care of him. He's going to be the messenger, and it's God going to take it. Well, God was taking care of him, but he's realizing that part of that is that he suffered persecution. Do we have any contrary statement from Christ even today? That those that will serve him in honesty and truthfulness will suffer persecution, even today. Should we then be shocked when we stand out for the truth and we speak out for God, for the message that he has given us in our hearts, his word, his gospel? Should we be surprised if we suffer persecution? No, we should not. But his feelings were, he felt like God has made these promises and he accepted these, and now he feels like God has abandoned him. However, in this lamentation, this chapter 20, and read it in different translations, get a little bit better sense of what this really is speaking. He's saying he sees that he needs to continue to deliver the message, even though he's feeling grieved, he's lamenting. But he says, I've decided I'm not going to mention your word, God. I had enough of this. But he says, it was burning inside me. I could not. The passion and the desire to fulfill what God has called him to do was even stronger, because what we do, as Philippians talks about, what we do for the Lord, it's not our own doing. It's God doing through us and within us and from us. He's using us as a vessel. Continue doing what God has asked you to do. Even if you're struggling, even if you're discouraged, just keep reminding yourself that God's promises are true, and that is not a guarantee that you will not suffer. I will not suffer persecution. So he's saying, just continue to do what you were called to do. And that's what Jeremiah is doing. Even though he's lamenting, I mean, I didn't read the end of the chapter. He's even asking, you know, why was I even born? I don't know if you've experienced deep discouragements in life that you were perhaps asking God the same question. Be honest with yourself. We do get to the moments like that. But we need to be then reminded of the greater picture and God's greater promises, and continue to be obedient to the message and the purpose that he has placed us on this earth, and to continue doing that. In verse 11, he's assured that God is aware of everything that he's doing, and he's watching over him. Even though he's grieved, he's lamenting, he's struggling, but he keeps reminding himself of God's promises, continuing to do what God has asked him to do. In other words, he's saying, even though I was tempted just never to mention your word again, I can't do that. The burning passion inside of my heart is prompting me to do that. And I'm reminded that you are constantly with me. And what's most powerful, and that's what we're going to conclude with, is that he, in the verse 13, that's why I wanted to finish on that positive verse, he's giving God the praise. Pause for a moment. Think of your Christian life. Some of you are with the Lord longer than I have been. When was the last time, in the midst of lamenting and grieving and feeling perhaps discouraged, that you stop to give God the praise? See, power of prayer is immense. But power of praise, I believe it's even greater. Giving God the praise in the midst of these difficult moments is a demonstration of our faith and assurance of God's promises. That though we as individuals, we struggle to have perhaps go through these valleys in our lives, we do think of God that he's above us, that he's greater, that he has a purpose, and that he has assurance. It may not always work out the way how we envision it and what we expect in daily life, but giving God the praise opens the doors of power that God pours out on us. And he finishes with this phrase, basically accepting the present situation. And he continues, as you go on, he is put in a cistern again. They want to take his life, and yet he lives and prophesies for some 40-some years while everybody around him, including the guy that put him in a prison and beat him, his friends were all killed, and he was taken to Babylon, and that's where he died. And Jeremiah stayed in Jerusalem. And he prophesied even after 586. So his prophetic life was over 40 years. Was it easy? No. But through every difficulty, through every discouragement, he remembered of who God is, and he found a way to be assured through this and continue to do what God has asked him to do, even though it was not easy, even though he would get discouraged, and find assurance of his word and his promises, and found a way to give him praise even when things were not easy. May the Lord add a blessing to this message for all of us.